Evening. It is good to see each of you here with us live tonight and those are viewing live stream as well. Let's start with a word of prayer this evening. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given to us, this opportunity to join together in fellowship around your word. And we pray that your spirit would take your word and implant it into our hearts and to our minds. Help us not just to hear and easily forget, but help us to apply that which we learn and that which would make us more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We think of those that are apart from us, those that are perhaps on vacation, just give them safety and give them a good time of refreshment. Those that are ill, we pray that you put your healing hand upon each, restore them quickly, and those that are gone for other reasons, just guide and direct in their lives as well. We just pray that each aspect of the service will be pleasing unto thee. We pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, we have been looking at mastering the basics, and now we're moving on into the striving for excellence. And we pointed out again, the mastering the basics, that's something that each one of us can do. We each can master those basics as we allow God to work in and through us. We can master each of those factors that we've talked about. And we kind of compare this with football. At camp, that would be mastering the basics. That's when you learn the concepts of football. You learn where you line up in a particular play, what position you're in. You line up in a particular stance, depending on what position you're playing. You learn how to work together as a team. You learn to hustle. All these are things that every one of the players can master on their own. They can accomplish that on their own. And as we look at all those are various things that, as you look through that list of mastering the basics, you might look at that and say, you know, I do pretty good on most of those on that list. And that's great. Let's try to work on the ones we're not so good at. Let's make sure we strengthen the ones that we are doing well, that we continue to do them well, to do them more abundantly. But mastering the basics isn't where we want to stop. Because if all we do is master the basics, we're not going to go very far with that. Again, using the sports analogy, when a team starts off the season, no matter what sport it is, no matter what team it is, they all want to win the championship. And it doesn't matter if you're the defending champion from the last season or if last season you didn't win a single game. When you start the season, everybody wants to be champions. Nobody goes out for sports saying, I hope I can be part of the worst team that has ever existed in history. That's not something you want your name in the record books for. There was a high school near the Quad Cities where we grew up. They had the distinction of having lost 39 football games in a row. So when people talked about that team, it was never in glowing pictures. It was never, boy, I would like to be like those guys. How did they do it that they could lose 39 games in a row? What was their secret? I want to learn what they did so that I can be just like them. Nope, nobody plans on that. You go into the season and you look at the defending champ and you say, how did they win it last year? What was the key to them succeeding? And then you want to try to emulate some of what they've done to give yourself a better chance at winning. But we've always told our guys at practices, whether it's football or wrestling, either one, if all you do is master the basics, if all you do is get to where you're good enough, you're not going to go very far in that sport. Because almost every team is going to master the basics. Most every team is going to figure out how you line up, where you line up, what the numbers are that they give you on a play. They're going to master all of those kind of things. But if that's all you do, you're not going to go very far because everybody else is going to do at least that amount. So we want to take it a step further, not only mastering the basics, but then we want to go on to the striving for excellence, to take those basics and now build upon them and do more than we did before. When we were in football up in northern Wisconsin, the team you always compared yourself with were the Edgar Bobcats. Because Edgar was a team that when they stepped on the field, they commanded respect. They were in the championship game many years. At one point, they had won 6 state titles in a row. I mean, they were the standard of high school football in northern Wisconsin. And when you played those guys, you didn't go at it just half-heartedly. Because if you did, you'd get stomped. When those guys had practices, they were like a smooth operating machine. When they did things, they did them as a team. You would watch them when they would break the huddle and run up. The entire offensive line would get up to the line at the same time. And when the quarterback would call out the number, they would slap their thigh. Every one of them would touch their knuckle to the ground at the same time. When the quarterback called the play and the ball was snapped, every one of their linemen were moving at the same time. Because they didn't settle with just mastering the basics. They decided to strive for excellence. And so when practice, they would run a play over and over and over and over and over. And they'd go, "Coach, we could run this one in our sleep." "Good, run it again." And they would run those plays so that when they got out on the field, everybody knew what they were going to do. They all knew exactly who they were supposed to block and what direction they were supposed to block them. On defense, they knew who they were to key in on each play. They had it down to a fine art because they were willing to put in the effort to strive for excellence. Well, in our service for Christ, we should never be content with just good enough. I did the very bare minimum, you know, that's enough. I shouldn't have to do more than that. But our desire should be to be the very best that we can be in whatever it is God calls us to do. If God calls you to preach, you be the best preacher you can possibly be. God calls you to teach a Sunday school class, you be the very best Sunday school teacher you can be. If God calls you to be an usher, you ush better than anybody else has ushed. Whatever it is God calls you to do, our desire ought to be to do it with excellence because we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are doing it as a service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He deserves our very best. Because everything that we can do, it's only because He allows us to do it in the first place. And so we wanted to strive to be excellent in everything we do, not so that people are going to look at us and go, "Wow, did you see what that guy was like?" No, we're not talking about directing the attention to us, but striving for excellence so that the glory goes to Him. So as we look then at the striving for excellence, first we notice is the spirit of success, and we had just gotten started with this last time in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When we talk about success, we have to define what we're talking about. Because if we talk about success from a worldly perspective, they're talking about, well, to be a successful team, you have to win the title. Or to be a success in business, you have to make X number of dollars. And they look at it and say, well, to be successful in church, you need to have this much money coming in. And you need to support this many missionaries. And you need to have all of these things going. And it's all based on these external things. But that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about success. as we talk about in the spiritual realm with us serving Christ, when we're talking about the success, the spirit of success, we're talking about realizing our full potential for God. Again, this goes right along with the good enough isn't, if better is possible. To be successful, I've got to strive to use everything that God has given me and realize my full potential for Him. Joshua was facing a daunting task. Moses had passed off the scene, and now Joshua was being called to lead the nation of Israel. And if you look back at the history of Israel, not necessarily the pleasant task he's looking for, because look how many times Moses had to struggle with the children of Israel, because they would buck the system. They would want to do things their own way. They wouldn't want to cooperate. And so now Joshua has the task of leading the children of Israel into the promised land and helping to divide the land up among the tribes. And so God is telling him to be of courage, to be strong, and he says, you need to meditate upon the word of God, and you need to strive to obey everything that you read. Then you'll find success as you lead the children of Israel. See, often we want the end result without putting in the labor. We want to see the victory without having to do the struggle. But as Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel, God tells Joshua, you need to be meditating on the word. You need to understand all that you can understand about who God is and what God wants. And he says, when you meditate on that day and night, don't just be content to get stuff in your head. He wasn't saying, learn the word so that your head is so packed that if somebody pokes you, a Bible verse is going to fall out. No, he's saying, you meditate on the word of God to do what you read. See, we can have all kinds of facts in our head about God and all kinds of facts in our head about Jesus, but all the facts do nothing if we don't apply what we learn. And so as Joshua is getting ready to lead the children of Israel, he is told, you meditate on the word of God, you make the word of God your source, and as you study it and as you meditate on it, you strive to do it so that as you lead the children of Israel, they will follow you along, then you're going to see success. You're going to be prosperous in your way. But if you try it a different way, it's not going to work. If Joshua were to sit there and go, you know what? I've got to call up all the human strength I've got, and I've got to figure out how to lead the children of Israel. I've got to make them do the right thing. I've got to lead them every step. If that's how Joshua would have looked at it, Joshua was done before it even started. God told him, Joshua, as you lead, you're not on your own. I'm not leaving you to figure it out for yourself. You meditate on the word and put into practice that which you learn. And aren't you glad that God hasn't just thrown us down here and said, figure out on your own how you can please me? We'd be in a lot of trouble, we. If I had to figure out how to please God, it would never happen. But God left his word for us and says, here, meditate on this. Study this. Base your life on this. And then you will have good success as you're putting the word of God into practice. And so in that spirit of success, it's not just knowing, but it's putting into application, putting into practice. In Philippians chapter 4, turn there for a moment, please. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Have have that spirit of success, if we want to realize our full potential for God, here's some things that can help us. In Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he tells them, listen, if you want to be successful, if you want to move ahead, if you want to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, here's some things that you need to do. You need to do right praying. If we don't work at our prayer life, and we just kind of, I'll pray, our prayer life can get stale and get to where it's useless. Often in prayer, the easiest things to pray about are all the things I need. I can my Christmas list to God and say, here's what I would like. If you would give me this and this and this and this and this, and if this one is in this color, and this one is in this size, and you give me those things, then I'm going to be happy. No, if all we're praying about is what we want, we miss it. It can often be easy to just pray in the vague generalities. You ever find yourself doing that? God bless. God bless me. God bless my family. God bless my church. God bless the school. God bless missionaries all around the world. God bless everybody. Amen. What'd you just ask for? I don't know. How do you know if God answered it? I don't know. Now, I understand at times that's kind of the prayer we have, especially if we're praying for missionaries. We may not know their current needs, and it may just simply be, God bless them on the field you've called them to and provide their needs, and it can be kind of general. But we don't want that to be our entire prayer, is just these vague generalities. Because when you pray specifically, God can answer specifically. And when you see God answer specifically, it encourages you to pray more. I could stand here for hours and tell you specific prayers that we've seen God answer in our life. Just as one example, Glenda and I, after we got married, we bought a mobile home. I mentioned to you once before, that was our dream home in a mini package. Had the fireplace and the living room and everything. Well, when we bought it, we were told the taxes have been paid for the full year. You don't have to worry about the taxes at all. That sounded great to me. I don't have to pay taxes. The previous owner paid him. Hey, that's super. That was awful nice of him. I'll be sure and send him a thank you letter for paying my tax for me. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. He had only paid 6 months' worth. And when the bill for the taxes was sent, it got forwarded to his new address. So he looks at that and goes, I don't owe those taxes, and he threw it away. So we're assuming taxes are all paid. One day I come home from work, and as I walk in the door, Glenda's sitting on the couch, and she's just bawling. And it's like, I haven't even done anything yet. Why is she so upset? Wait until I do something stupid first. I think that's going to happen. That's a given. But she's already bawling. And I don't mean just, I mean, she was bawling. And it's like, what is wrong? And she tries to tell me, jail, wait a minute. I heard that word in there, jail. Who's going to jail? What's about? And she goes, you. And I said, me going to jail? What'd they finally catch me with? So it's like, okay, let's take a deep breath and try to explain what's going on. So she tells me when she got home that day, there was a note attached to our door from the sheriff saying we had 10 days to pay the taxes or I would go to jail for tax evasion. Then I sat on the couch beside her and I started to bawl. I mean, I know Paul had a great ministry when he was in prison, just wasn't visioning that as the ministry God had called me to. I wasn't volunteering, saying, yeah, go ahead, take me, look at the ministry I can have on. I was bawling, I don't want to go to jail. So we looked through all of our finances we didn't have. And there was like nothing to pay that bill. And it's like, we've got 10 days to come up with 6 months worth of taxes. We learned a great lesson about prayer. Because we began to pray like we had never prayed before. Me especially. I was praying, Lord, no jail in my future. I've gotten by this far without getting caught. I don't want to go to jail now. We're praying, God, no jail. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, the sweat is coming out heavier as I'm praying and bawling, going, God, something's got to happen here. I don't want to go to jail. Day nine comes along and there's still no money. And we're like, ooh, this is not good. Nowhere in our marriage vows did it say, and happily going to jail. That hadn't been any of our plan whatsoever. I got a new job that day and found out I had 2 weeks vacation plus the combined. We had $10 more than what the tax bill was. So we went down to the tax man. We wrote out that check as fast as we could. We handed it to him, and I said, now, make sure that the sheriff doesn't come looking, because I paid this. I don't want to go to jail. What did we do to get that money? Nothing. But we learned to pray specifically. And as we prayed, God, I need this amount of money because I do not want to go to jail. And God delivered. And when you see an answer like that, then the next situation that comes up, it's like, bring it on. Let's see what God's going to do this time. And God handled that problem for us. This one, he's got that under control as well. And when you begin to see God answering specific prayers in your life, it encourages you to strengthen that prayer life more. And to say, God, you answered here. Deliver us in this time. And I could go on with the times of prayer that we've seen God answer specifically. Notice one that Paul mentions about prayer. He says, prayer with thanksgiving. And I hate to admit it, but to be perfectly honest, there's been times I've been weak in the area of thanksgiving. When God has answered prayer, and I've not stopped and said, God, thank you for answering that prayer for me. I just took that answer to prayer, tucked it under my arm, and moved on ahead for the next request. But we need to be people of thanksgiving. When God answers a prayer, thank him for the prayer that he's answered. And when he answers in a way that doesn't fit what your prayer was, thank him for answering according to his will. And striving with the right kind of praying. But then not only do we need the right praying, but also we're told we need the right thinking. And you look at that list of things to think on, just and pure and true and holy. Do you find that any of that in the world today? No, it's in exact contrast to everything the world puts before us. But Paul says, don't get so wrapped up in all the worldly garbage that's going on. And right now, it would be easy to get wrapped up in all the worries and cares and troubles. Look around, there's all kinds of bad stuff going on. There's all kinds of evil running rampant in our society. And we could get wrapped up and say, well, we've got to go and solve this problem. Oh, no, we've got to go and solve this problem. Oh, wait, what about this struggle over here? And we can just be running around trying to take care of everything. And God says, no, don't think on all of those things and waste all your energy on the negative things. But think on him. Oops. Sorry about that. When you look at that list, what is more true than Jesus Christ? What can you think of that's purer than Jesus Christ? What can you think of that's worthy of praise more than Jesus Christ? So see, our mind needs to be focused on him, thinking about who he is, thinking about what he has done, thinking about what he wants for us. Because if we get wrapped in the negative game, looking at all the stuff that's wrong, we can use all of our energy and not solve any of those. But when our mind is set upon Christ, and our mind is set upon obedience to him, then whatever he calls us to do, we can be successful because our mind will be set in the right way. But if God's calling us to deal with an issue here and we're fighting all these battles over here and using all of our energy over here, what God calls us to do still says they're not getting done. But when God says, this is the task I have for you, and we seek him, say, God, help us to focus on doing this for you, we will find success. And then there's a third thing that's pointed out there to the Philippians. Verse 9, it says, learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's that next two-letter word? What's the next two-letter word? Right there. It's not a trick. Do. Be with you. That's where we often fall short. We know what there is. We've learned, we've heard, we've received, we've done all these things in the Word. We've heard the Bible stories. We've been through the Sunday school classes. We've been in morning service and evening service and prayer meeting. And we've been to special meetings and we've heard the missionaries. And we get all of this stuff crammed into us. And there it sits. Paul doesn't say, take all those things that you've observed in me and sit back and just think about them. He says, all of those things that you've learned from the Word of God, do it. Two simple letters, but oh, so difficult to accomplish. It's easy to get facts. You can Google it and get facts about all kinds of stuff. Now, there's all kinds of ways of getting stuff in your head. We just get stuff in our head. We do nothing. We're wasting our time. Paul says, those things that you've learned, now you go out and do them. When you hear missionaries talking about serving others, you go out and do it. You know, one thing that drove us nuts as football coaches is when guys would mess up on a play and you try to, hey, instead of doing this, you should have done that. Yeah, I know. You know that you were supposed to do it. Yeah, I know. Then why didn't you do it? Knowing it is great, but when you don't do it and you're not where you're supposed to be and that's where the other team runs the ball and they score a touchdown because you knew it but didn't do it. I had one of my junior varsity guys. Talk about hyper energy. He was all over the field. And one night after the JV game, his mom comes up and says, I'm at all these games watching my son. And I don't understand why he's not the starting linebacker on varsity. How come he's playing junior varsity? I watch him, and every play, he is all over the field. They can't stop him. He's everywhere. And I said, and that's why he's not on the varsity team. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, remember that last play where he ran in and almost got to the quarterback but didn't, and the halfback was open, and they threw him the ball, and he scored a touchdown? And she said, yeah, if he'd have gotten there a second sooner. I said, that was his man. I said, on that play, he was to cover that guy. They scored a touchdown because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to. He was off doing what he wanted to do, wasn't in the right place, and they scored. I said, do you want me to go through the game with you and point out how many times he was in the wrong place because he wasn't listening to what he was supposed to do? And after every one of those plays, he blew it. Hey, you know that guy that just scored? That was your guy to cover. I know. Then why were you in the field? Well, because I thought I could get to the quarterback. But your job was to cover that guy, the guy that scored. Yeah, I know. Knowing and doing are two different things. Yes, it's important that we know what God wants us to know. Then we've got to take that next step, and we've got to do what God wants us to do. And if we're running off doing our own thing, saying, but look at how busy I am for God. I'm doing 86 different things over here, and God wanted you to do one thing here. Yep, you're using up a whole lot of energy trying to do all those things, and you're not getting any of them done, and the very one thing that God wants you to do, you're not doing it. But that spirit of success, that I want to realize my full potential for God. I want to live in such a way that I'm pleasing Him by doing what He wants me to do. And that helps us as we begin then moving forward on there, learning that spirit of success. And then there's the spirit of submission. Spirit of submission in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission. The world looks at submission as an evil thing. They look at submission and say, well, you've got to yield your whole life to God. You've got to give your plans over to God. You've got to, you know, and it's all the negative. You have to do all this. And therefore, as a Christian, it's just no fun because you don't get to do anything you want to do. You've got to submit it all to Him. Submission isn't a bad thing. As we're submitting to each other, it begins by submitting to God. And in submission, we're talking about arranging ourselves under the authority of another. And that's what the world looks at and says, yeah, if you're arranging yourself under Him, that means you're giving Him the authority in your choices. You're giving Him the authority in what you're going to do in different situations. You're letting Him make all the choices. Yeah, but the world sees that as a problem. But see, when it comes to submitting, it's more than just saying, I'll do what God wants me to do. And there's a lot of Christians that'll do that. The submission is, fine, if I have to do it, I'll do it. Just when you tell your kids to do something and they don't want to do it, and you insist that they do it, and if they don't do it, you're going to take away their phone and they can't get on their iPad or whatever else, and you crack down on them, fine, I'll do it. That's not the submission we're talking about. In submission, we're talking about valuing His leadership, accepting, valuing His leadership. Because as I submit to Him, it's not that I have to do what He wants me to do. When I value His leadership and say, I get to do what He wants me to do. Stop and think about who it is we're talking about now. We're talking about serving God. The one who breathed into creation. The one who sustains all that is. The one that gives you every breath you take. We should value His leadership. We should value ourselves being in submission under him, because we know when he guides us, we're going to be going in the right direction. He's not going to lead us someplace that's going to harm us. He's not going to take us and destroy us as we follow him. We need to value his leadership. It's not I have to, it's I get to. I get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you understand what a privilege that is? Think of somebody to you that's a huge hero, okay, in whatever realm you want. You think about that person, and they give you a phone call and say, hey, I want you to do me a favor. Are you going to go, oh, I have to do a favor for my greatest hero ever? No, you're going to be excited saying, my hero called me and wants me to help him? Oh, this is awesome. Serving God should be even more than that. I get to serve God, the Almighty of the universe. That's not a have to. I need to value his leadership. Again, using the sports analogy with it, some of the guys on the team, they'll do what the coach says because if I don't do it, I don't get a play. Fine, I'll come to practice after school every night. I don't want to. Hey, after all, I'm a gamer. All I've got is show up Friday night and I can play. I don't even need the practice. And you smile at that? If I had a dollar for every one of my players that told me that, whew, it'd be nice. But they, fine, I'll do it because coach said we have to. At the end of practice, and they're running wind sprints, and we tell them, you got to run one more. I don't want to run one more. Well, the team's going to keep running until you run one more. Fine, I'll run one more. Okay, that's doing it because you have to. But it's the players that realize, hey, when the coach has us running wind sprints, he's doing it to help us build up our endurance during the football game. Because if we don't have the endurance we need come fourth quarter, we're going to be sucking wind out there big time. So they're helping us to get in shape. When they make us run this same play six times in a row, it's not because they can't think of any other play to run, but they're running that to help you to run that play the best you can. And when a player says, you know what? I'm buying into what the coaches are doing. I'm not going to do it just because I have to do it. I understand they've got a plan. They have a strategy. I understand that when we go into the game, they know what plays they're going to run to start the game, and they do it for a reason. They run those plays in that order. They're seeing how the defense responds to each of those plays so that you know how to run the plays better the next time around. They have a purpose. When we run the play over the middle, is that the play that's open? Or are they, you know, can we do it on the outside? And they run these plays to see what the defense does. And the players that say, I'm going to do that because that's going to help us in this game. Yeah, these aren't the plays I because these aren't the plays where I'm the star. No, you buy into it and say, this is what coaches, they've studied this game. They've studied game films from the other team. They know what the other team tends to do, and we're running plays according to that. I'm going along with what coach says because he's doing this for our betterment. Well, when we submit to God, it's not like there's some ogre in heaven that's going to beat you upside the head with a club until you finally give in. But when you say, yes, God, I will let you lead in my life. I desire for you to lead in my life. He's going to lead us to accomplish the things he wants us to accomplish. Submission isn't a bad thing. Society makes it sound like it's bad. You have to give everything. Yeah, you give it up for him. And who more deserves it than him? See, if we're going to successfully move forward for God, yes, we need to master the basics. And that's something all of us can do as individuals. Each one of us can work on those basics, and we can master those basics. We can accomplish that through letting God work through us. But we don't want to settle for just getting the basics. That's good enough. Good enough isn't if better is possible. Better comes in by striving for excellence. By striving in that spirit of success. Not the spirit of success that says, hey, look at me, I did it. Spirit of success that gives him the praise and the honor and the glory. The spirit of success that says, I'm going to realize my full potential for him. And that spirit of submission, not saying, yeah, I'll do it because I got to do it. I will submit. I will submit to my brothers and sisters in Christ as I submit to God because I value his leadership. And I know when I submit to him that he's going to lead me the direction he wants me to go. Almost through the preseason. We made it through the training camp with getting all the basics. Now we're into the preseason aspect, and we're striving for excellence, and we're just about ready